This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John Cochran, an esteemed scholar and fellow at the Hoover Institution, who keeps the blog Substack Grumpy Economist. He is not grumpy. He's very sunny. And right now he's taken on the role of Sherlock Holmes. And the mystery to be solved is inflation. The inflation of 2001 to 2024 that is still burdening everyone's thoughts about, are we out of it? Have we recovered? What drives that inflation? Where did it come from? Why did it not follow the expectation that a recession would follow? These mysteries to be solved by Sherlock Holmes. Remember how Holmes works. You eliminate the impossible, and whatever is left, no matter how improbable, that's the guilty party. John, a very good evening to you. Beg pardon for making you Sherlock Holmes. It's just a favorite of mine, and you set this up so there is a pursuit of the facts. The inflation of 21-24, did it comport with the theories of how inflation work, or was it exceptional? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, I think it did. I would add to your Sherlock Holmes motto, embrace the obvious, which is what happened in this case. Now, it's interesting that there's such a reluctance to do that, but we'll get to that later.
Yes.
The most obvious story for inflation has happened over and over again in the U.S., and that is what happens in wartime. In a war, the government faces an emergency, spends like crazy without worrying too much about the efficiency or how we're going to pay the money back. The Federal Reserve buys a lot of debt, monetizes the debt, holds interest rates down to help the government do the war, and inflation breaks out, which isn't necessarily not part of the plan, because when you inflate, you inflate away the value of government bonds so that basically it's like a default and existing government bondholders pay for it rather than having to raise taxes on people now or raise taxes on people in the future. That's what we did in the Revolutionary War. It's what we did in the Civil War. It's what we did in World War One. It's what we did in World War Two. Sort of what we did in Korea, sort of what we did in Vietnam. And that really fits the picture of what happened here. Inflation sprang when they shoveled $5 trillion out the door to fight COVID, and especially when the Biden administration kept spending like crazy, even when COVID was over. That told people, we're not going to, the crisis is over, pay back the debts. We're going to be spending forever. That's when inflation came. And inflation stopped in 2022 when the Senate changed hands and it became clear we weren't going to do the $6 trillion Green New Deal. And we're back to ordinary, normal levels of fiscal dysfunction, which the U.S. lives with forever. So that classic story, which we tell every economic undergraduate, fits the episode pretty clearly. And as you pointed out, not just why did inflation start, but why did it ease without the Fed really hiking interest rates, without a huge recession, without all the things that everybody said you needed to stop inflation?
You write under war finance, borrow and print money, send people checks, print money. That means it's not real money. You just made it up and you're pushing it into the economy and you're doing this on purpose. And everybody realizes the checks they're getting, they're going to have to pay for. Is that how it works?
Yeah. Now, this was more than just fighting a war. In World War II, they printed the money to buy tanks and airplanes. This one, they printed the money to send people checks. Some of those were, some people were really hurt by COVID. So government has an insurance function in a catastrophe. Some of it was to keep businesses afloat. Government has some of that function. But a lot of it was just pump priming fiscal stimulus, which I think was kind of unnecessary. And I think they do, too, in retrospect, because they're not proud of it. If this was minimum necessary effective spending to meet the crisis, caused a little inflation, bondholders chip in like everybody else, they would stand up and be proud of it, as I think they were proud of how they financed World War II. They're less proud of it.
Why is inflation hard to forecast? You asked that question. Why?
Yes. Inflation is always going to be hard to forecast. Inflation is sort of like stock prices. If I could tell you with any scientific certainty stock prices would go up tomorrow, everybody else would know that fact and stock prices would have gone up today. Inflation is sort of the same. If businesses knew that prices would all be higher next year, they'd raise prices now to get ahead of the game. So just like stocks, if there were really scientific certainty about where inflation's going, it would have already happened. That'll make it always difficult to forecast. The second reason, if you don't mind, the key to whether a deficit causes inflation is whether people expect that the government's going to return to normal fiscal policy and pay back the debt. That's hard to know what's in people's heads. Do they trust the government, or do they say, these guys, jokers, are never going to pay it back. Let's get rid of it now. That makes inflation hard to forecast, even in times like 2020, you know, when they're throwing money out the window.
My memory in 2022 is when inflation skyrocketed towards 9%. The explanation from the White House was, first, it's transitory, and second, it's supply shock. What is supply shock inflation? Is it real, or was it a rationalization in 22?
Of all the rationalizations, the dog ate my homework, it's not our fault excuses, supply shocks are actually one of the slightly more reasonable. So we all know what happened in the pandemic. There were supply shocks. Restaurants are closed. You can't go out to dinner. Businesses are locked down. They can't produce anything. And that makes the prices of some goods go up relative to others. But that's the problem. A supply shock is a transitory shock to relative price levels. And I went slowly because all three things are wrong with the standard story of inflation. Pelotons are going to go up in price. Food's going to go down in price. Why does that make everything go up? Wait a minute. We didn't explain that. And in fact, supply shocks only cause everything to go up if the Fed responds to those supply shocks and the Treasury respond to supply shocks by printing more money, giving people enough money to pay the higher prices for everything. That, too, is a standard story. If you take an undergraduate econ class and they say, what about supply shocks in the 1970s? Everyone says, oh, yeah, the oil price shocks, that wasn't inflation on its own, but it caused the Fed to print money so that everyone could pay the higher prices. Supply shocks only cause inflation if the Fed accommodates them. And everyone forgets that second part. You hear out of the Fed, it's kind of like dog ate my homework. It wasn't our fault. There was a supply shock. Nothing we could do about it. Wait, it was a choice to accommodate the supply shock rather than let any prices go down. Now, maybe it was a good choice. Maybe there would have been more of a recession if some prices had to go down so others could go up. But it was a choice, and they made that choice, and it's because of the accommodation, not the supply shock.
We need to review a previous conversation about some terms of art here. Relative prices compared to price levels. Price levels compared to inflation rate. Remind me, John.
This is so important and so confused by so many people who ought to know better. A relative price is the price of one thing going up relative to another. Pelotons go up relative to food because they're in short supply. Oil goes up relative to other things. The price level is everything going up. It's the part of price changes where the oil goes up, the food goes up, the wages go up, everything goes up. Don't confuse the overall level of everything and one thing versus another. Second, the level of prices goes up. That means there's inflation for a while, then the inflation stops. But prices are still higher. So we had an increase in the price level. Inflation has gone away, but prices are still 20% higher than they used to be. And that's, I think, why the elites want to say, oh, inflation's going away, you know, why are you worried? And the peasants with pitchforks are saying, but prices are 20% higher, and they're exactly right.
And those prices are rising at a rate that is predictable? Can you see the rate? The reason I ask that now is because inside this mystery is, for 2 years, I was told that a recession is next quarter or two quarters
yes.
from now. And right now, the most recent reporting is 70% of the economists questioned by, I think, FT or Bloomberg, said recession in 25. Now only 20% say that. So can we explain all those things, why the predictions are wrong, why it didn't happen?
Well, it'll happen when everyone says zero.
Okay.
Recessions are hard to forecast for the same reason that inflation's hard to forecast. If you're running a business and everyone tells you there's going to be a recession next year, you cut back right now and there's a recession right now.
Yes.
Recessions also don't come from any natural impulse in the economy. They need a shock. Something needs to go wrong. So we'll trundle along in this late summer of the business cycle until something sparks a recession. The Fed could really tighten. That has done it in the past. There could be a financial crisis. That has done it in the past. There could be a geopolitical event that can cause a recession, but something needs to happen. So nobody will be able to forecast a recession because you can't forecast unexpected shocks. That's just the truth of life.
I'm speaking with John Cochran, Professor John Cochran of the Hoover Institution, an esteemed fellow. He and his colleagues have the podcast videocast Goodfellas. Right now we're discussing the mystery of the inflation of these last years that has weighed on the economy but not stopped it. And when we come back, what is to be done about the facts of the matter? Does it warn us in the future, or are we going to do this again?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.